To take your little children to creche. We have creche next door, and they're going to get that set up and make sure it's warm for the kids and put heaters around there. So it's in the next room in the foyer. So if you need to take your kids to creche, you can do that now. And if you're going to remain with us, please open your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And once you've found your place, if you're able to stand, please do so tonight in respect to God's word. James chapter 4. Beginning from verse 1, the Bible says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even from your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and ye have not, ye kill and ye desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith, In vain the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. You may be seated. Asking a question in way of introduction and also in the title of the message, how close do you desire to be to God? How close do you want to be to God? Well, the Bible is very clear, and the Bible says, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Meaning that if you do desire to be very close to God, it's up to you. As they say it and as they put it, the ball is in your court. If you desire to have a close, intimate relationship, then it's up to you. God desires for it. Can we have it just a touch down if you don't mind, Maggie? Thank you. God desires for you to be close to him. God desires for you to have an intimate relationship with him. And there's no doubt anyone that would be in this room would have the same desire to be close to God. But there needs some things to take place in order for that to happen. It doesn't just happen. There are some things that you need to do in order for you to be close to God. Now, we understand the scriptures. The Bible says about Abraham, he was called what? A friend of God. Now, why was he called a friend of God? We understand this, that he believed God, he trusted in God, he had a walk with God, but most of all, he obeyed God. And his obedience to God proved that he had faith in God, he had trust with God, in God, and he had a walk with God. And there's no one in this room can say right here, right now, I desire to be close to God and I want to be close to God without obeying the living God. And so if you desire to be a friend of God, you need to obey God and obey what you hear from the scriptures. Notice what the Bible says, that God in Proverbs 18:24 in his wisdom says, a man that have friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In other words, God wants to be your friend and he wants to stick close to you. God wants to be near you, close to you. But the question is, do you want to be close to God? And you say yes. How close do you want to be? Well, it's up to you. God is always here. He's not moving, he's not going anywhere. If there is a break in the relationship, or if there's a separation, if you would, or if there's a lack of communication, it's not from God's end, but it's from our end. And what God is saying, if you just draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. And so there's some things that we must do in order to stay close to God, continue having an intimate relationship with God. And it's found in verse 8, the Bible says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Notice this phrase, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Cleanse your hands. You need to have a clean heart. This gives the inclination that you and I must have a clean heart. In other words, you and I must continue to have a sensitivity to sin and to confess all known sins to God. We'd say it, always said it, that you must keep short accounts with God. Something arises in your heart or in your mind, you must be quick to give it to God. And we know King David was a man that committed adultery, didn't he, with Bathsheba. Dirty hands, dirty heart. But Jesus took it to the next level, and he wants you to know that any person that looks upon a woman has committed adultery already with her in his heart. So we understand it. If you think it, you have a dirty heart. We understand that also King David committed murder by killing her husband. And Jesus goes on to say that if you hate toward your brother in your heart, you're a murderer. And so, but later on, we see David repent from those sins and cleanse his hand. The Bible says in Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You and I need to have a clean heart, a right spirit, if we are going to move close and near to the heart of God. I heard a story about a man in the 1880s. Dr. Philip was his name. He was born into a world of dying women. The finest hospital lost one out of six mothers to the scourge of childbed fever. A doctor's daily routine began in dissecting room where he performed autopsies on the dead. But then later on, without washing his hands, he will go and perform deliveries with mothers giving birth. This went on and on and on, and there was casualties and people, mothers dying in the delivering room more than oft. And he understood that later on this had caused a problem with these dying mothers that he had found. He had never washed his hand after some dealing with the dead. And so he began to now be lecturing and debating with other colleagues, letting them know and argued his cause of death. And but they laughed at him and they would not listen to him. They would not believe him. Doctors and midwives had been delivering babies for thousands of years without washing hands. And then they weren't going to be outspoken by this Hungarian, and they weren't going to change. This man ended up being insane, knowing what had taken place and the cause of her death to many, many, many mothers. And if you really understand this to be true, if you go into the hospitals now, you'll see outside of every room a place where you can actually wash your hands. They're everywhere in the hospitals now. They have learned to adapt this thinking amongst many, many years that you need to have clean hands before touching anyone that you're working on, whether you're delivering a baby or whether you're doing an operation to someone, you must be clean. Well, how often do you wash your hands? How often do you clean your heart? We're surrounded by different things. We collect dirt in our hearts each day. There are many things that we see, hear, do, and think that is not pleasing to God and deserves a daily cleansing, if you would. We need to go before God and say, God, cleanse my heart, cleanse my hands, cleanse my thinking and my mind from the things that I pondered upon today, from the things that I thought evil of someone today, or whatever it is, and anything that I viewed today that was just simply dirty that you need to cleanse me from. Many a times people will go on their way and continue to do service for God with dirty hands. But let me say this, and I believe it was mentioned in one of the testimonies, service for God will never make your excuse for a lack of walk with God. It can never make up for it. And if we are going to have a close walk with God, then we need to have a clean heart before God. Clean hands, if you would. Confess your sins before God. Unconfessed sins will draw you away from God. But not only unconfessed sins, but we see having an unforgiving heart will draw you away from God. Please notice verse 11. The Bible says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge." Now you cannot walk close with God while at the same time you're speaking evil of your brother, or you do not forgive your brother. It's very hard to be close to the heart of God when you have, evil and bitterness and envy or hate or whatever it is against someone else. Now please turn with me to Mark, if you would, chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, notice verse 25. The Bible says, "And when ye stand praying," and we understand that when you pray, you're speaking to God. Anyone that comes before God in prayer, you're actually communicating with God, you're speaking to God. And he says, "When you pray, when you stand praying or speaking to God or asking God," note it, "forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses." What God is saying here, if you desire to speak to me or be close to me and you want to talk with me and have a close walk with me, make sure that you have a forgiving heart for those people that have hurt you. Many a times people hurt us and we hold grudges. And we kind of harbor it in our hearts. And what God is saying, if you want to come and approach me, you want to be close to me, I want you to forgive them. How do you expect God to ever forgive you if you don't have a forgiving heart for others? Amen. And this definitely needs to come from the heart. It needs definitely to come that you really choose to forgive that person with all your heart, not just half-heartedly. Turn to Matthew 5:23. Someone's hurt me, God wants me to forgive him. You say, they haven't asked for forgiveness. I understand that that relationship could be a bit awkward from their part, but at least from your part, you do all that you can to make peace with your brother, amen? And then God will have a close walk with you because of your efforts of trying to be peaceable with all men. Notice Matthew 5:23, and he says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there, note it, rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee," he says, "leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way first and be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." The first scripture that we looked at regarding this was if someone hurt you. Now, this scripture is relating if you have hurt others. He says, if you remember that someone has an offense to you because you've hurt someone, what I want you to do is I want you to leave that gift. I don't want you to come and present your gift. I don't want you to come and be close to me if you're not going to be willing to ask for forgiveness from the one that you hurt. As I said this last week, we're excellent justifiers. And one of the things that we try to excuse ourselves is, "Sweetheart, you know, it's not that bad. Get over it. I didn't hurt you that much, did I?" And sometimes the things that we do to others in our eyes don't seem that big. But when they're done to us, they're a big mountain, isn't it? Big, big kind of heavy burden where we're kind of hurt by those people. And so the best thing to do is see the hurt and the pain that you have caused to the other person and not really seeing what you have done. You know, not justifying it to think, "Oh, it's not that bad, get over it." Well, if you've hurt someone and their countenance is not that good and their attitude is not that bad, what God is saying, before you come and pray and give your gift or your service, go make right. It doesn't matter to be extra sensitive, amen? sweetheart, you know, or whatever it is, your daughter, your friend, your brother, someone, you know, not overly sensitive, but at least a little sensitive. Is there anything wrong? Like, honestly, did I do anything to hurt you? And perhaps most of the times you may get, no, it wasn't you, it's just something that I'm going through. And maybe you can even be a burden bearer at that time. Amen? Instead of saying, oh, that's up to them, they can deal with it. If I hurt them, that's too bad, they're taking it wrong or whatever. You know, what God wants us to do is to be, you know, having a forgiving heart. He wants us to have a clean heart. And in doing so, we can draw nigh to God. He wants us to be sensitive. This is a time where you can go and ask for forgiveness. And by the way, when you do that, you humble yourself. Amen. When you go and ask for forgiveness of someone, it's a humbling thing. You have to say the words. Now say it. Would you forgive me? Your face kind of changes a little, doesn't it, when you say those words? Oh, it's hurting me. Why? Because you're prideful and you're puffed up and it's hard to get it out. But God says, if you want to be close to me, let it out. Would you please forgive me? I hurt you this way. I'm sorry. God wants you to cleanse your heart, cleanse your hands. If you want to draw nigh to God, then you need to have a clean heart. Second of all, you need to have a broken heart. Notice in verse 8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, note it now, and purify your hearts. This has the inclination, again, having a broken heart, to humble yourself before the Lord. Notice the next verse. In verse 9, he says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Now, this is especially at the time where we've really sinned against God and sinned against others. Again, don't make light of your sin. Come before the Lord and say, Lord, you know what? I've committed this great sin before your eyes. I'm broken because of it. I've come and I don't want to justify it, but I want to be broken because of sin. I want to show you an example, Luke chapter 5. Leave your finger there at James, but go to Luke chapter 5 and we'll use Peter quickly as an example. Luke chapter 5, beginning from verse 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, being Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, notice that in a singular sense. Jesus Christ says in verse 4, let down your nets, plural. And Peter's saying, look, listen, you don't understand, Jesus. We've toiled all night. There's nothing. Now, you can really say that he wasn't being obedient to God's word. He was doubting God's word. He was doubting, and we don't know what he taught from that ship, but if, you know, if I was, you know, knowing Christ and his messages and what he would simply do for the sake of these disciples, he perhaps would have taught on something of faith. Trust God's word. Believe on me. And here you go. Say, we've toiled all night. There's nothing. I guarantee you. But you know what? At your word, I'm going to let down a net. One. And I'm going to show you and prove you wrong. That's how I read it. You can read it another way, but that's how I read it. God says, let down your nets. And he let down one net, trying to prove him wrong. And you say, where do you get that from? We're going to get there in a moment. It says, now, we see there in verse 4, now when he he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, let your nets down for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And verse 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and note it, their net break. Can you imagine if they let down their nets? Perhaps they wouldn't have this problem where their net was breaking because of the multitude of fishes. And verse 7, and they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both of the ships, so they began to sink. Wonderful sermon there. Verse 8, but when Simon Peter, this is what we're looking at, but when Simon Peter saw it, he says, saw what? When Simon Peter saw it, what? Saw the fish? Yeah, saw the fish. But when he saw his disobedience and his lack of faith, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a what? Sinful man, O Lord. Again, the O Lord and that depart from me would have taken place where he would perhaps would have been kneeling and saying, Lord, I'm a sinful man. I don't think he would have saw the fishes in more than what he would have saw his sinfulness. Would have just proved that he wasn't broken at the time when he was kind of back-checking to Jesus saying, oh, look, I'm going to show you. Your way doesn't work. We've been doing it all night. And then when he realized God's way does work. And by the way, let me just stop and say this. The Bible more than works. It's the living word of God. It's the only thing that will help you cleanse your ways. That's what the psalmist says in 119, by taking heed unto thy word, cleansing your ways, being broken before God, God showing you your heart. And you know what? When you see this dealing with Peter, you did not see Christ rebuke him or step on his head as he was down, because he was already down. And what God just wants from you is just to admit and be broken before God, and he will lift you up. There was no indication here that he rebuked him. At different times he did, but at this time he didn't, because he was broken because of his sin. And when you get broken before God because of your sin, he will just pick you up. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing to be broken before God, to have a broken heart. It's a good thing, by the way, to kneel before the Lord. That shows that he's God and you're putting him in his right place of your life. Notice verse 6, but he giveth more grace. In James 4, verse 6, he giveth more grace. Wherefore saith God, know that he resists who? The proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. And so there's no way that you and I could be close to God or have a close relationship with God if we're proud. There's no way in the world that we can be close to God if we don't admit our faults. There's no way we can be close to God if we don't allow him to be the Lord of our lives and we don't obey the Lord. Now, let me stop and before we get to our third and last point and say some things regarding prayer and being before God, some things to remember to avoid when praying, whether it's in private or in public. Number one, I want you to note it down, the danger of repetition. Jesus spoke about it, being repetitive in our prayers, going through the motion, praying some things without thinking, praying the same things without meaning. There was these two people praying, they were prayer partners for their prayer meeting, and he was kind of new to the gathering, and he would have his friend, and he'll be praying week in, week out for himself, and saying, oh dear God, please take and remove the cobwebs out of my life. And every week his prayer partner would hear it and he was kind of just bothered by it. And one day he found a leading from God to pray for him. And he said, oh, dear God, his friend praying for the other friend that always prayed this prayer, taking the cobwebs out, saying, oh, dear God, would you help my friend? Would you kill that spider? You know, he's praying the same thing, the same problem, the same, you know, many a times we just pray the same thing over again, but God is saying, look, maybe you need to change your prayers. Amen? And we can get in the habit of just praying the same old thing, the same old thing. That's a danger, and that may lead, let me say this, danger number two, to a fast, unfelt prayer. We kind of know, oh, Heavenly Father, and it's almost like the Lord's Prayer or the pattern prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, but we have it mapped out in our own little way that we pray. And let me say, it would be good to address the Father always, but it would be good to know that it's coming from the heart and that you're not rushing your prayers and that you're not saying them so fast. And so, in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, brother, slow down. I want to say amen with you. Honestly, sometimes it just... we're in the habit, let's get it over and done with, and let's go. This is a big danger. Remember, you and I are talking to God Almighty. When we pray and bow our heads, we are approaching God. Okay, we're not approaching any person, any, you know, president, king, and we bow to them. Okay, I understand the respect in that instance. Paul the apostle had respect for kings and honored kings and all, but we're honoring God here. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. There needs to be a heartfelt prayer that's coming from the heart. And don't forget that you're speaking to God Almighty. Danger number three, being distracted, not concentrating. You know, your mind wanders. By the way, if that happens to you privately, it will be a good thing to say, sorry, Lord, my mind just went somewhere. I don't know where it went. You know, when you're praying and your mind just goes somewhere, you know, you're thinking about something, maybe work. You're thinking about something that someone hurt you or something. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yes. When you're praying and then your mind goes somewhere, you're still praying, but you don't even know what you prayed. Did God hear that prayer? Not if you're not concentrating. And so it would be a good thing to say, you know what? I apologize, God. It would be a good thing right there and there to say, God, I apologize. I'm so sorry I let my mind wander there. You know, I had to say, I was so distracted with whatever it was at the time that I had to apologize three times to God because it just happened again at the same time. And it's a danger for me to fall into that where I'm distracted, my mind's wandering and going elsewhere. Now, especially in public prayers, danger number four, don't worry about what others think about you, how you pray. Can I just say this? Whether it's short or long, just pray to God. And just pray the way you pray. Don't worry about whether you're, you know, being this theologian and you have to get your words together, or you might be worried about stumbling or, you know, getting it. Just pray. And use your own voice. Be who you are. Don't pray in this other tone that, you know, you have to approach God in this holy manner. Dear God, we come before you now. And you don't have to do that. You're talking to God. You just have this felt prayer from the heart and be you. Don't worry about anyone else. Talk to God and say it from the heart, and don't worry about what people think. You are talking to God. Don't worry about your friend next door, what he thinks about you when you pray. Worry about what you're going to say to God. Okay, be free to talk to God and communicate with him. Danger number five. Praying just to be seen. It's not enough just coming to prayer meeting and having a long-winded prayer, amen? Make sure that your closet prayers and your time alone with the Lord outweighs the time that you pray here in church. If all you do is pray when you come to church, that's religion. And it could be that you're just, I just want to make sure the brethren saw me. Pastor saw me. See, I came to prayer meeting, okay? You don't come to prayer meeting so you can please the other brethren. You come to prayer meeting so you can pray to God for others. And if you're not coming for that, then don't come. But come and get your heart right and pray. Because you're not just coming to say, look, I made it to prayer meeting, let's hurry up and pray so I can go. It's not, see, this is just something that I did when I was a Catholic. I call it Bundy on, Bundy off Christianity. You know, when you go to work and you clock on and it shows you the time, 10:50 a.m. and you Bundy on so they can pay you right, you know. And so when you leave, you go and you Bundy off, 3:30 p.m. Well, I did that in the Catholic Church. Man, I just Bundy on. See, God, I made it. Now I'm going to get credit for it. That's a bad thinking. When you come, you're praying for God for others. Amen? You're not praying for people to see you. You're interceding for others. You're not praying just to look spiritual. You're praying for God. That's why the Jews had a problem with it. They prayed in front of others. And that's why Jesus said, go in your closet prayer and pray there. There's nothing wrong with praying publicly, but that's all they did. They prayed publicly because they wanted to be seen of men. Danger number six, make sure you don't try preaching in your prayers. Okay, remember, you're talking to God. I remember when I was in Bible club teaching the little kids, just a delight to teach. And one of the lads came up and he started praying, and his sister was next to him. He was younger than his sister. And he prayed, we got him to pray, and he prayed, he stood up and he prayed and he said, "Oh dear God, please help my sister not to be mean to me." And she went and she said, "Hey," and she knocked him like that. And we all knew that that was his sister. He went, you know, sisters, they want to be boss. And well, that's what he thought, you know. Bigger sister being mean, he interpreted it as mean. Well, she's just looking after him. But, you know, don't try to preach in your prayers. Amen. You know, trying to talk to God, but let other people hear what you're, you know, saying. But I'm saying this, talk to God. Speak to Him. You're addressing God. Try to refrain from trying to preach to others. Now turn with me to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Remember, you want to be close to God, you need to have a clean heart. Second of all, a broken heart. Psalm 34, verse 18. Notice what the Bible says. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a what? Broken heart. And saveth such as to be of a contrite spirit. Amen? That word contrite, meaning crushed or powder, if you would, to be crushed or broken before God. And what the Bible says is the Lord is nigh to them. The Lord is close to those that have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And that's what we're looking for. If you want to get close to God, number one, have a cleansed heart. Number two, have a broken heart. And lastly tonight, have a truthful heart. Notice James 4 verse 8, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hand, you sinners. Purify your hearts. Note it now, please. You double-minded. God, in any way, shape, or form, doesn't want us to be two-faced. Amen. He doesn't want us to live a double life nor be double-minded about the things of God. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and you adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whosoever be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I think this is a very crucial one, that you have a true heart and you know where you stand before God. Let me try to encourage you this morning. If you're not over the world, let me encourage you, get over it. Don't fool yourself. You cannot live in the world and you cannot live with God at the same time. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. And when we say this, we mean the world system. We mean the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We're not talking about people. We know that, understand this to be true, that separation is not isolation. We love people. We want to reach people. But we're talking in the way of the world, the system, the fashion, and where it's going. It's contrary to God. God says, I don't want you to be double-minded about this. You're either with me or you're not. I have your whole heart or nothing. God wants every bit of you. He doesn't want to share you with no one or no thing. And if we are going to be close with God, we need to get over this thinking. One mind, one God, one master. I'm sold out. A soldier that is a soldier for the Lord that's going to please God is not going to be entangled with the affairs of this life. And I'm just saying to you, please, with all my heart, don't be fooled that if you can serve God and you can serve the world and you can have the best of both worlds, you cannot. You're going to have to make a decision. It's either close to God or close to the world. There's no middle ground. And I know that I've always preached this, and I know we had our series about giving God the glory and the beginning of it, and we used Moses to be an example, and it's always going to come out. It's always going to be challenged to us because we're living in the world. And we have a tendency to shift over a little. We have a tendency to adapt to the culture and go where the wind blows. But I guarantee you, when you're in the Word of God, you'll have a truthful heart. When you're living and breathing the Word of God, I guarantee you, God will take out the world from you. He'll take it out. And He'll give you a new heart with new desires. New things will come up in your place. You need to make a decision. The world or God? There is no way in the world that you are going to be a friend of God and close to God if you're still loving the pleasures of this life. If you're still serving flesh. And I'm saying this with a truthful heart and a broken heart here tonight. Please don't fool yourselves. It's either God or the world. You can't have both. Now Moses said when he came down from the mount after receiving the law of God and he saw them worship the golden calf and dancing and making noise and parading about, he came down and he said, and he stood at the gate of the camp and he said, "Who is on the Lord's side? If you're on my side, look, I want you to make a decision and come over." Joshua, the same thing. He says in Joshua 24:15, he says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord," it's, by the way, it's not evil. Right. Amen? Amen? It's a good thing to serve God. It's a good thing to give God your whole heart. There's no such thing of being too much for God. That's blasphemy. We can never be enough for God. It's a good thing to serve God. It's a good thing to give Him our heart and be surrendered to God and have a truthful heart. It's a good thing to be close to God. And it says, "If it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day who you will serve, whether the gods which our fathers, your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in which the land ye dwell," meaning right now. But he says this, as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm making a decision right now that not only me, but my family, we're going to stand for God and we're going to stand for Him. We're going to serve Him. We only have one mind, and that's for God. We have one heart, and that's for God. I'm not going to share it with the God of my fathers, nor am I going to share it in the land which I live in. God is going to have my heart and all of my heart. And if you are going to be close with God and draw near to God, you need to come to God and say, "I have one mind and one heart, and it's for you. No one else." Even to the point where Jesus said, "If you love your mother and your father and your sister and your brother or your wife more than me, you're not worthy of me." Now, that's really hitting a nerve right there. And God's not saying that you ought not to love your family, but the comparison in which you have loved for God compared to your family doesn't compare. God's always first. Amen. God's always first. He must be first if you want to have a close walk with God. Now, I want you to turn quickly, if you would, to Matthew. But while you're turning there, I want you to notice Elijah said, he said this, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." And all the people answered him, "Not a word." And so you need to say, "Lord, I want to have one opinion. I want to make up my mind." Now go to Matthew 15, if you would, and verse 7. Notice what the Bible says there. And he's talking to the Pharisees at this stage. God wants you to have a truthful heart. He doesn't want you to be double-minded. He doesn't want you to live a double life. He doesn't want you to play Christian. Amen? He wants you to be a Christian. Back then in the days of Christ, in Antioch, they were called Christians. Do you know why? Because they followed Christ. Why? There's those Christ followers. There's those people that love Christ and they do things His way. They were given that name in Antioch because they were following the Lord Jesus Christ. You have only one master to follow. And if you follow the Lord, if you try to follow the world, there's no way in the world that people can tell the difference. Matthew 15 verse 7, the Bible says, "Ye hypocrites, well, did Elias prophesy of you, or Isaiah prophesied of you, saying that these people," what is it? "Draweth nigh with" what? "With their mouth. And honor me with their lips. But their hearts are far from me." Wow. God help us. God help us in this room here tonight. That if we come to God with this lip service and just mouth and our hearts are far from Him, and that we're thinking we're close with God because of our speech or because of our term of how long we've been a Christian or whatever it is, and that we're not maintaining this love for God diligently every day, and that we're thinking we're okay because we're just simply saying the right things, God help us. I don't know about you here today, but I want to have a truthful heart. I want to come to God and say, God, I want to draw nigh to you with a truthful heart. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to live a double life. I don't want to say something, but my heart wants something else. I don't want to praise you and bless you, but my heart is desiring something else. I want to have my heart for you. I want all of my heart, Lord. The Bible says, give me thy heart and then observe my ways. That's what the Lord says there. Please quickly turn to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. A couple of more scriptures and then we're closing. We're going to have the Lord's Supper tonight, so I'm trying to hurry it up and trying to get through this. So what do we need in order to get close to God? We need a clean heart, a broken heart, and a truthful heart. Notice what the Bible says in Psalms 145 verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in what? Let's say it together. In truth. In truth. God wants a truthful heart. Not a wavering, double-minded heart, but a truthful heart. Go back to our scriptures, which we read this morning, and we'll close with this. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. When I first read James chapter 4, I thought, you know what, James, if I heard a strong message second to Jesus, I think this passage has got to be it. Honestly. He's right in your face, James chapter 4. You can't move, you can't try to run away from it, it's always there. You're in your Bible, it's going to come up again and again and again. And I thank God for his straightforwardness, amen. I thank God that we have a preaching of God's word that doesn't beat around the bush, but says it how it is, that we need it. And that I thank God that he's truthful to us, amen, and that we are simply guided by his truth, for he is the truth, and praise God for that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, he says, I will therefore have men pray everywhere, lifting up what? Holy hands, without wrath and doubting. You want to have a close walk with God? Then you need to take God everywhere, wherever you go. Dependent upon God at all times. And at the same time, you need to lift up what? Holy hands. Cleanse your hands. God wants you not to touch the unclean thing. God doesn't want you to tamper with sin. God doesn't want you to have this harboring of bitterness in your heart. The Bible says, lifting up holy hands, note it, without wrath. God doesn't want you to hold grudges. God doesn't want the sun go down upon your wrath. Amen. He wants you to get right with your neighbor before the sun goes down. God wants you to get right with your wife and right with your family and right with those that you've offended and right with those that have offended you. So if we want to be close with God, we need to take him everywhere. We need to have holy hands and we need to have a forgiving heart. And then without what? Wrath without doubting. I guarantee you, if you have a pattern of taking Christ everywhere. And by the way, I didn't mention this morning. Remember the time when Jesus was in the Last Supper and Judas was there and he made his way ready to go and betray Jesus? Where did they go after the Last Supper? They went to the garden. Where did Judas know where to find him? How did he know where to find him? Because he knew that he'll be there with the disciples. He knew. And would God know that you'll take him everywhere, that you're dependent upon him? I guarantee you, if God is with you, wherever you go, you take him everywhere, then he's close to you. And understand this to be true, lifting up holy hands. If you would just simply come before the Lord in prayer and say, God, search me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. I want to come with a true heart to you, God, and without wrath. Not holding any grudges. Being peaceable with all men and trying to live a peaceable life. forgiving and being and having the opportunity to allow others to forgive, you've got to understand this. I guarantee you, your prayers, you'll have faithful prayers. You won't be in this doubting mind. You won't be in this mentality where I feel guilty. You can pray with confidence. You can pray with assurance. You can pray knowing that He's going to answer you. And He's going to answer your prayer according to His will, because you have a walk with God that you're so close. And that walk with God is more than your mobile phone, my friend, here tonight. And that walk with God is more than your internet or more than your book or whatever it is that you spend time in. And you're guaranteed that you're having holy hands before God, and that you're going to cleanse your hands and have unconfessed sin. And you're going to make up your mind that God is going to be the God of your life. You're not going to share Him with this world. And the fact that you're going to have a forgiving heart and a forgiving spirit, I guarantee you, when you pray, God will hear your prayers. They won't go to the ceiling and come back, but they'll go to the ease of God, and it'll move heaven. And God will keep His word. Whatever you pray in My name, I will give it. And the reason why so many people are not getting the blessings of God in their life, because they're not praying with faith. And the reason why they're not praying with faith is because they're not near to God. There are some things that are causing that distraction. And I hope here tonight, that tonight, perhaps be the night, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. Maybe your prayer would be, Lord, I'm not going to share You with no one. You're going to be the King of my life. Honestly. Lord, this is not no cliche here. I really mean it. I want You. And I want You to have my heart. And I don't want to be deceived. Maybe your prayer here today is, say, someone I could think about, someone I haven't forgiven. I don't know what it is, but saints, when you come before the Lord here tonight, what you're going to have to do is say, Lord, examine my heart. Please, Lord, examine my heart. And let me just say, if there's anyone here tonight and you're a visitor today and you're a Christian, you've been saved, you've been baptized, and you're a part of a local church, you may be free to join us. But I just want to say this, if you're not saved or you haven't been baptized biblically, I beg you, please refrain from taking these elements. And let me say to the Christian, if you heard this message and you're really in double mind about whether making a decision or not, please don't take this lightly. Please understand that this is serious. And God wants you to be serious about Him. When you hold this, it's representing the broken body of Christ. The flesh that was simply falling from His body. They plowed His back. They plowed His back by the scourging. And this here, He says, I want you to remember that. And I did it, why? For your sin. I did it for you. And I want you to remember the suffering that I had gone through. I want you to remember how much I love you. When we take this tonight, we're remembering God's suffering and we're remembering His love for us. But it's an opportunity for every Christian to say, God, I want to cleanse my hand. I want to cleanse my heart. I want to purify my heart. I want to have holy hands. I don't want to be double-minded about You or the things of God. Lord, I want to be near You. I want to be next to You. I want to enjoy You. And this is an opportunity. God knows what we need, people. I tell you, God knows what we need. And that sometimes it just takes a special moment like this to get right with God. But maybe there's someone here tonight that's not saved. Maybe while we take the Lord's Supper, you're thinking, I need to get right. I need to get saved. They're getting right with God. The saints are getting right. They're cleansing themselves. Amen. I need to get right with God. I need to become a child of God. Maybe that's you here tonight. And I pray that you will, and you won't hold on, but you won't, you know, you'll just let go and give your heart to God. God wants all of you. He doesn't want to share you with no one else. God wants you. The greatest thing that rings in my ear, Charlie, I don't want your religious duties. I just want you. I died to have a relationship with You. Okay, you can give me your gift and your sacrifice. Okay, I understand that. You want to do that to express your love? Fine. But seriously, don't give it to me if you're not right with me. I want You. I love You. I want to be with You. I want to fellowship with you. I want to show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. I want you to live a supernatural life here on earth. I want you to share with my sufferings. This is a thing that God wants for every single one of us, and he doesn't want us to live a religious life. Let me tell you, religion stinks. It stinks. God wants a relationship with every single one of you. And maybe tonight you can come to the reality of that if you haven't yet come to it and trust that Christ is your Savior. What I'm going to get is I'll get Eddie. Would you give out the bread? And I'll get Brother Mick, would you give out